This is Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hanat Baba. San Francisco has always celebrated outsiders. The Beats, the hippies, the gay rights movement, and even the Occupy movement all found a home here. Well, today we're dedicating the whole show to one of San Francisco's loudest subcultures.
Let's all shoot the stick. Let's get really wild.
Punk rock.
Let's make for a couple of days. I've been a wig now and I'm not tired.
It all started in the 1970s as a pushback against the excesses of mainstream rock and roll with its meandering solos and arena shows. In reaction to this, some bands started to strip songs down and simplify them. At the same time, they put in their politics and made music that was overtly anti-establishment, anti-corporate, and far from the norm. Outsider music that took what had been a term for a prostitute or hustler, a punk, and embraced it.
I am Governor Jerry Brown. IRS files and Democrats.
Legend has it that punk was born in New York City around 1975, but bands in San Francisco quickly began to join in after that. Some played raw garage rock, others experimental performance art music, and yet others outrageous and outraged political satire.
California, over others, California.
It was social commentary, political opinion, underground comics. All this came together in zines, homemade punk-inspired magazines filled with photos and record reviews and letters to the editor. Kind of a pre-internet internet for what quickly became a worldwide movement. Almost 40 years later, who's keeping track of all that ephemera? Is there a method to this madness? To find out, KALW's Colin Peden paid a visit to a very unique San Francisco institution.
People sit quietly, working at desks and tables, surrounded by shelves full of periodicals and rows of storage boxes, neatly indexed by color and symbol.
I think it's very important that people can actually come and visit us and see what we're doing.
Lydia Athanasopoulou shows me around. She's the senior content coordinator here, kind of like the head librarian.
We have guests visiting from literally all over the world. Mexico, Finland, Canada, Barcelona, Japan, and Germany.
That's because this quiet place has a lot to offer. Walls of vinyl records, for example, as far as the eye can see. Athanasopoulou shows me the massive database of albums she's working on.
And this just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes and goes.
18,000, 19, 21, 22, 23, 24, 6, 27,910.
30-something.
Okay, stop. Number 36, 1007, is The Softies, Suicide Pilot, England, 1978.
Oh yeah, this is Maximum Rock and Roll, headquarters of an international punk network. It's where a horde of people produce and publish a punk magazine that's been around since before most of them were even born. And they put out a weekly radio show. And put out records. And maintain an archive of zines and photographs and punk rock ephemera. All that, plus they maintain a record collection that just keeps growing and growing.
And how many?
47,000 plus.
Plus, yeah.
Counting?
Yeah. And counting. We get at least, 150 new records in a month.
47,000 records? 150 new records a month? Content coordinator Grace Ambrose tells me that there's an entire pallet of record jackets in the garage waiting to be stuffed with Maximum Rock and Roll's latest release, a double LP from hardcore Latino punk band Los Crudos. That will be so much vinyl, you'll need a forklift to move it. And then there are the decades of historical materials. Old zines with names like Flipside, Comet Bus, and Profane Existence. There are cabinets full of old punk photographs. And there are reels and reels of tape. And the record collection. Like any archive, it all needs to be organized.
As you can see, each bookshelf has a color. So this is pink, that's orange, further down is green, blue. And then each tier has a symbol, And then each box has a number on the back.
Coming up with color-coded filing systems may not sound very punk, but it's necessary. That's because the mail never stops coming in. Maximum Rock and Roll's distribution coordinator, Eli Wald, shows me a bin overflowing with mail that he just brought back from the post office.
Okay, we got demos submitted for review. We got zines submitted for review. And yeah, I don't know. Every time we get back from the post office, it's like Christmas morning.
The best present of all? The music.
Here's a demo from a band. Wait, no, it's not a band. This is a comp called Suicide Bong. Mixtape / Philly's Dopest Volume 1.
Organization done for punks, by punks, about punk. The unpaid coordinators can't do this alone. That's where the army of volunteers comes in.
We call our volunteers workers. I don't know if you can say that on the radio.
The workers do everything here. They write reviews, they lay out the magazine, they stuff the envelopes, they make the radio show, they shelve the records in the archive.
And some of our workers have been good, and they've added little tabs for the blood section, the broken section, there's a sex section, there's a chaos section.
Maximum Rock and Roll has an international audience, shipping 2,500 magazines worldwide every month. In May, it presented a global day of punk and hardcore gigs in Borneo, Mexico, Serbia, Russia, and the United States, to name just a few. Maximum Rock and Roll is a maker and an archive of a movement, on vinyl, on paper, and on the airwaves.
And now, stay tuned for Tim and the Gang on Maximum Rock and Roll!
It all started as a radio show. In 1977, Maximum Rock and Roll founder Tim Yohannan and a few friends began broadcasting on KPFA in Berkeley, focusing on what they called working class rock and roll. The show aired Sunday nights at midnight and still airs on radio stations worldwide. Here's Yohannan from a show in 1980.
Some great pop music there. That was the Electric Personalities, a new form of rockabilly there, doing Hot Spot. Before that, Black Randy and the Metro Squad doing Loner with a Boner. And
Yohannan died of cancer in his apartment at the Maximum Rock and Roll headquarters in 1998. But his strong views and opinions on punk rock and its relation to personal politics shaped the institution. Here he is talking about
anarchy. That is a subject that is on the tongues of punks around the world. You see A's with circles all over the place. I'm not sure how many people really know what the subject really means. And
Yohannan and friends thought that many of the bands that they were playing on the radio needed documentation. They were releasing 7-inch vinyl singles, but nobody had put it all in one place. So, in 1982, Yohannan and Jello Biafra from the Dead Kennedys put together a compilation double album covering the Northern California and Nevada punk scene for the first time. They called this compilation Not So Quiet on the Western Front. The lyric pamphlet for that compilation album became the first print issue of Maximum Rock and Roll. Maximum Rock and Roll number 0. Maximum Rock and Roll number 1, the July and August issue, came out in the summer of 1982 and hasn't stopped since, not even after Yohannan died. The content coordinators live at the headquarters, working unpaid, with day jobs that support their gig, keeping the archive and the magazine up and running 386 issues later. And the DJs put out a new radio show each week. Punk's not dead, it's global. Recent Maximum Rock and Roll radio episode number 1455 featured new punk music from Siberia. That's right, Siberia. Whoa! You're listening to the Dead Biebers, straight from Yakutsk in northern Siberia. If there wasn't a Maximum Rock and Roll radio show to listen to, I never would have known. Since 1977, this volunteer-run organization has been keeping track of punk worldwide. The magazine's always been a smart rag, punk rock through Maximum Rock and Roll's lens is anti-fascist, anti-racist, anti-corporate, pro-queer, pro-feminist, pro-punks of color. July's issue features San Francisco post-punk band Fleshworld, who we'll hear more from later in the show. This isn't some old boys club, but it is hard work. People like Grace Ambrose and Lydia Athanasopoulou take their roles as critics, arbiters, and active curators seriously.
The first thing we do every month, we all sit down together and we listen to
every
single record that comes in so that we know if it is eligible for review in Maximum Rock and Roll. It is a grueling session.
I love it.
There you have it. It's grueling and they love it. And so do I. For Cross Currents, I'm Colin Peden.